Hey everybody, Zach here. If this is your first time listening to this episode and you're listening on release day, you should come to the Twitch at 7 p.m. PST and check out a live stream of this episode along with some of the LU cuties from the Discord. I think it'll be a great time and I hope to see you there. Again, that's 7 p.m. PST at twitch.tv/slapdashstream, so you can find a link to it at theluq.com.
Greetings, legend lovers and action addicts, and welcome back to the League of Ultimate Questing, where professional heroes put their lives on the line for your very own entertainment. My name is Kip Killigan, voice of the LUQ and servant of the Nexus Enterprise. And with me in the mega booth is the shot of scotch to my gin fizz, retired League veteran, Stormclad Thundertongue.
I can't quite put my finger on it, Kip, but today seems special somehow. I can just feel it in my thunder gut.
Have you been eating wolf sausage for breakfast again? You know it gives you gas.
Nah. I'm on a wolferoni break. This seems like something cosmic, something significant.
I'm curious. Maybe it is a special day.
Is it some god's birthday? Has some great unseen wheel made another rotation? Just can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, every day feels like a special event when we get to bring our fans more LUQ adventures. Unfortunately, we're having some trouble getting a good signal from the Mortal Dawn's monitor after a recent unscheduled plane shift, but we'll keep you up to date as more unfolds. In other League news, a number of hero rank teams, including the Mercurial Devils and 9-Point Star, are on a trial of seeking, hunting down the wanted criminal known as Uncle Midnight. Whoever brings this outlaw in alive gets a big payday.
Ha! Wanted criminal. If stealing from bigwigs, fat cats, and major corporations help the less fortunate makes you a bad guy, I'll eat my sheath. I like his style. Seems like a real heist man. Damn, I love heists. But the name, Uncle Midnight, leaves kind of a nursery invasion taste in the mouth.
Well, fan or not, the price on their head is high, and these teams are chomping at the bit to bring him to justice. Who will be the first to catch him in the act?
9-Point Star has my vote. They've been bringing their A-game this season, and got enough paint on the canvas to start seeing a picture. Something to be said for teams with an eye for clues and gray matter to put them together. These days, it's all dump stat combat crews trading think meat for beaten meat. Intelligence always suffers, Kip.
Let's get back on the field to see what some of our other teams are up to while we check back in with Monitor 419 and see what comes to light. Prepare for adventure!
You're quite certain that if you were looking through your normal eyes, this place would be too much to process. Everything is reflective, metallic, glistening and moving. But with your machine eyes, it seems fairly normal. The huge floating gears supporting massive mechanical structures that lock together at 90 degree angles. The constantly moving landscape rotating like the pieces of a clock, always fitting together perfectly as they click and turn. And the countless modrons that move in lines from one destination to the next. The air is filled with buzzing quadrons traveling in perfect sync, even as one occasionally diverts from the flow and soars upwards before exploding happily into information absorbed by the atmosphere. This is Ergo, some origin to be exact, the physical realm of this world. But the four of you are not as you once were. I would like for you to describe to me what your mechanical version looks like.
Well, Arvid jumped through the portal first, so he comes through and we see him as kind of like a centaur form where his firbolg body is on top and below is a thick sheep-like shape. The steel wool of his body arcing static electricity like Tesla coils. And you can tell his arm looks like it could extend to blades at the side, kind of like his parody axe. And up top, a hard metallic face and giant ram's horns.
Awesome.
It takes a second to recognize Harthax, because instead of their standard jet black scales, Harthax is a pristine, glistening white, like plastic or enamel painted metal, with lines running across their body like circuitry, which glows with an internal darkness that starts at their eyes and crisscrosses their entire body. Their missing arm, rather than an organic root-like shape, is a bundle of disconnected filaments which periodically twitch, writhe, plug themselves in higher up my arm, disconnect, and resume wriggling.
Mm. I like that Harthax looks like he's an eye product.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a ring on my back, which is dark.
So what you see booting up before you first begins as a collection of these shapes, crystals that form, starting with a head-like structure. Fiber optic cables begin pooling and cascading out, grabbing each of them, coalescing to a human form. In that, you see a prominent gem-like structure project towards a face. And this face is the perfect face of digital beauty.
Artyom's top half and bottom half are triangles, inverted, obviously maintaining a roughly humanoid shape, but they connect together at the torso as a single pulsating light-emitting diode. The triangles themselves are a gradient from purple to red to yellow as his coat in both directions, with the brightest point being the center. His arms extend, and at the end of one is a very simple, clear, perfectly round, a circle whose perfection you couldn't even imagine, in the form of a mirror. And on the other is a hand from which extends for a split second a spear of viral data that extends and retracts. And on his face, instead of his normal face, there are three points of light. Three perfect light-emitting diodes, like goggles, and then a single light where his mouth would be.
The Motor Dawn have been born.
Yeah!
You have appeared on a road, connecting two of the giant gears that make a portion of the landscape here in some origin. Behind you, there is a line of monodrones, seeming to grow in size, the hundreds of them marching in a line that have paused patiently as you block their traffic. Their numbers seem to keep going on and on into the distance. The one in the front of the line looks up at you patiently, holding his little walking stick, clicking with anticipation.
We have come in search of the entity known as Reginald 419.
Traffic moves this way,
he says, pointing forward.
I think we're going to get a lot of this.
You realize now that Artyom's body doesn't have legs. Instead, the conical shape of his lower half in a perfect metallic chassis just ends. And as he moves, underneath it, a light glows and he just sort of hovers.
As opposed to Arvid with the giant piston sounds every time he moves his legs.
Beautiful.
Traffic moves this way. And a voice behind him says, traffic moves this way. Traffic moves this way. Traffic moves this way.
Going further back the line. You can see like a kind of the most organized traffic jam you've ever seen forming behind them.
Okay, Doppler.
I guess we go that way. One foot.
And you only see these like weird crystalline points at the end.
I've always loved crystal points for legs.
Just like move like an ice skater.
Yeah.
When you first started talking about like boots, I actually imagined that you just had cowboy boots and then the rest of you was Data.
Booting up.
Yeah.
That would have been so cool too.
Garish cowboy boots, yeah. And then Data in the form of a body.
It's a robot in boots. Done. And as you say, I guess we go that way. The voices say, of course you go that way. You would never go that way. Why would you go that way? That way. And you kind of get swept up in the traffic of the Modrons. In every direction, uniform lines of them seem to march on endlessly. Some are massive and flat, and their many legs glide easily along the metal surfaces of the gears to ferry other Modrons from one platform to the next. At many intersections of their perpendicular roads, there are glowing sigils that seem to direct them to stop and go, as different directions of marching monodrones obey. You see many signs pointing in many directions. Lines of information, ones and zeros ever-changing, but your mechanical minds process the one that points to the Sertanian Athenaeum. The Sertanium hangs like a pendulum from a huge central gear, swaying back and forth like an inverted geometric castle on a set of hydraulic shafts. Information and lines of code floating through the air, only perceivable to beings of this place, seem to get pulled into the building and funnel into the top of the conical central tower. One of the many roads seems to lead right to it, a road with far less traffic. How the gravity functions as you step onto a new path facing straight upward bothers you for a moment, but then it seems perfectly logical. Larger Modrons that look like clusters of quadrones connected by tubes move along the outside of the Athenaeum, constantly polishing and perfecting the glistening metal walls. You arrive right as the pendulum swings to its lowest point, and make your way onto the clanging metallic steps towards the entrance. A tall arched set of doors that seem to hold up a massive glass orb between them stands before you, and a huge blinking eye looks downward and studies the group.
What is your purpose?
Retrieval. Reginald 419.
Retrieval not scheduled.
There must be some misunderstanding.
The eye widens in panic at the word misunderstanding.
It would be more logical for us to move forward, you know, to preempt the instruction.
This is known now and will be known for all time. Enter.
Chris, did you just change this place?
I don't know. I didn't think that would work.
The door swings open.
Let us be careful with what we say. There are no white lies here.
Oh.
You enter a long corridor, filled with monodrones moving in every direction, carrying out tasks, delivering parcels from one place to another, taking down information. And several of them look up to you curiously, being very friendly in their demeanor.
Greetings. What brings you to the Sertanium Anthenaeum?
Preemptive instructions. Retrieve Reginald 419.
There's a clicking sound.
No information on Reginald 419 present. This must be high-level data.
Indeed.
Proceed, and have a nice day.
Oh my god, I can't believe that worked again.
It is now a part of this world. This is a place of information.
Oh, smart, smart, Artie, I'm very smart.
From inside, you aren't even aware of the sensation of the swaying as the pendulum swings. The innermost chamber is almost conical. The walls are reflective metal covered in endless facets that resemble honeycombs. Inside each, tiny machines are clicking and whirring arms. They seem to pull information out of the air and use it to build another tiny machine, which moves to a facet of its own and begins working immediately. There is no sense of art or inspiration in the geography, but the craftsmanship is nonetheless beautiful. The center of the main chamber houses a very eye-catching device that stands almost 20 feet tall. An orrery of gold, a model of the planar map, moving and rotating on arms, spinning like the hands of a clock. The sound of clicking and processing is almost deafening, but as you get near the center of the main chamber, things seem to grow quiet. All eyes are upon you.
We have two purposes. First, to preempt the order to reclaim Reginald 419, and to repair Christ.
Repair?
Look at yourself.
And I hold up my mirror shield.
And what you see in the reflection is you get a closer look at the crystal, and it's cracked. And the projecting of the face seems to glitch out and fade. But when it's stable, the face is still static.
Some of the Modrons nearby look to the broken crystal and look to each other and say,
"Repairs are of a higher echelon than our data information inputs. Seek the witness! Seek the witness! Seek the witness!"
Voices echo throughout the chamber. And an object descends from the high rafters of the Sertanian Anthenaeum, casting a shadow from the soft, luminous bulbs over the planar orrery. A dull, almost calming alarm seems to emit from it, hardly disturbing the work of the countless automaton workers, but making its presence clear. You realize the object is alive, like most things here, with a massive, glowing, golden eye shining a ray of light down upon your group. The light seems to penetrate you and fill you with doubt. 10 more small golden eyes emerge from the body and extend outward on the tips of mechanical jointed tendrils. A mouth affixed with rows of serrated teeth opens to bark out the words of imminent authority.
"You are not meant to be here. Your designs are unknown to me. The witness sees all within the Anthenaeum, and our order will not be disturbed. Leave now."
Your orders aren't disturbed. It's preemptive scheduling. You'll know about it soon.
The creature seems surprised that its words, "leave now," didn't make you immediately turn your heels and exit. And it seems to be calculating and comprehending the reality of the situation. A level of insight foreign to the countless beings of this plane.
"This is a danger to the equation. Unknowns must be reduced to zero."
As its satellite eyes begin to hum with energy. Let's roll initiative.
Oh no!
No, I don't think so. I don't think
there's anything you could have said that would have not upset him. That's a 22 from Artyom.
Oh.
That's a good high number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 22 for Chris.
Hey.
Which one of your robots has the higher dexterity?
Plus three.
Shoot. I think you're both 16, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Who has the higher intelligence?
10.
What's your intelligence?
14.
Okay, because your robots, you process just slightly faster than Artyom.
There you go.
Okay.
First dex, then int. Arvid?
17.
Fuck y'all. Harithax?
4.
I knew it.
There's
the one. I've been re-listening to old episodes, and this exact same thing come up where these three just like fucking crush it.
Yeah.
And then I knew I could count on good old shitty Michael.
Yeah. Harthax is terrible rolls. Live question. Do I have my Haraspex ability, or does that not function here?
There is no future seeing in the plane of logic.
Okay.
Nor is there luck.
Yeah.
Oh!
So, you are in the center of a massive conical chamber. The walls are filled with honeycomb facets with tiny machines watching while working. There is a huge orrery of the planes spinning in the center of the floor, and hovering over it is a mechanical beholder known as the Witness, whose golden eyes are shining down on you. So the first to react is Krizzt.
Krizzt. From here, you can see the fiber optics that were once colorful and super glamorous go really frosty, as one might say. Mm. I'm going into a super cool mode.
Mm.
And from there, you see the fiber optics of the hand turn into a crystalline scythe.
Nice.
Somehow I think reduced to zero means get deleted. Let's delete them first, huh?
Affirmative.
All right, so Krizzt charges forward and begins to clamber up the orrery. Please roll me a dexterity acrobatics.
Dexterity acrobatics, cool. Ooh, natural 20.
All right. So despite the fact that you are made of these gems and wires and metal, your body moves perfectly. And as limber as the day you were born, you effortlessly leap up from one planetoid, running up a bar to the next, and you are now standing just at the base of the Witness. I will note that while you're standing in front of it, it seems to be emitting a strange energy from its eye that shoots outward in a cone surrounding everything just before it. You felt it when you felt that doubt enter your body. Most beholders have a cone of anti-magic, which would be absolutely ridiculous here. This creature has the Eye of Judgment. If you're standing in front of it in a 90-foot cone, you are under the effects of Bane.
Ooh.
And I haven't been afflicted by Bane yet, so can you refresh my memory?
Anti-bless.
If you're rolling an attack check, you're going to subtract a d4 from your d20.
All right. Let's do a super cool scythe move.
Please do.
All right. That is a total of 20.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That hits. Roll me that sweet digital scythe damage.
Ooh. Did I get that right? Is that actually 19 damage?
That sounds pretty good to me.
Ooh.
So your razor-sharp crystalline blade, which is built into your arm, whooshes out and seems to cut through information itself. And one of the eye stalks falls, and instead of crashing to the ground, dissolves into information and floats upward.
That's so cool!
Next in the initiative is ARTM.
Excellent. From the core of his body, his diode detaches and immediately starts hovering, a little awkward at first, and then stabilizes as it becomes my combat drone, radiating outward with light.
Awesome.
As I'm doing that, I'm going to hustle around this idiot. And now that I'm some distance away, I'm going to get out of his little cone.
Mm-hmm. As you step out, you feel this strange, like, oppressive authority that it had over you minimize.
Excellent. I'm going to launch a spike of corruptive viral data at him. That would be 16.
Unfortunately, 16 is not quite enough.
Ah, but I'm going to invoke my harmonic synergy, giving RTM another D6. That's super cool, this badass move.
Aww. That's plus 2. 18?
That hits exactly.
Oh, my God.
My only question is, what does it sound like when Krizzt harmonic synergizes?
The essence of who RTM is, what he is in that diode, a pulsating beam of light. And as he vibrates and pulsates, Krizzt's harmonics synergize with it, creating a simultaneous glow and beat.
Mm. It's like the sound-activated LED lights.
Exactly.
It's going to be like a low, like one of those boots and pants things, like boots, pants, boots. Too much?
Boots. No, I like it. So now that you've hit, go ahead and roll me your spear damage.
Excellent. That is going to be 1d8 plus 1d6 acid.
We'll call it viral damage.
Okay. That is 9 plus 4.
Excellent. The spear buries into the side of this floating beholder before you hear a clicking sound and it whooshes and reattaches to your arm, mechanically or magnetically pulled back.
And then I'm just going to follow up with that the attack that I get for my spiritual weapon.
Yeah, drop that drone.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of a spiritual weapon drone.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Oh, that's no dice on me. I got a 2, unless we have our inspirations. Damn.
That is okay. This beast has this glowing orb, this machine of light buzzing around in its face, causing some of the eyes to flinch and look away. Next up is ARVD.
Yay. Okay.
Augmented reality venereal disease.
That's Arvid to a T.
Okay, so Arvid's centaur form charges towards the witness, pistons a-pumpin'. Mm-hmm. And when he makes it up to the creature, you hear a loud sound as his emergency brake sets on.
ABS kicks up.
Yeah.
You're going to Tokyo goat drift into him?
Yes! So much yes!
He raises his arm and his mechanical manipulators sink back on that arm, and the points of his monofilament axe come out on either side. So he makes a swing with that.
Real quick, roll me a strength athletics as the goat is literally jumping up on top of these spinning golden orbs.
That's freaking rad. Mm-hmm. 18?
Very good. The massive weight of this mechanical ARVD literally crushes some of the planetoids under its hooves as you vault upward, getting the full momentum of your charge.
Excellent.
See that axe?
15.
And you are going to be subtracting d4s from these.
It wasn't going to hit to begin with, but now it's 13.
13 does not connect.
And then we'll do the ram attack as the second attack.
Perfect.
And again, piston sounds, and his little head just juts forward.
Like a Rock'em Sock'em robot.
Yes! Like a Pez. Just like, yeah.
That one's a 22.
Please roll me the d4.
20.
That connects. So go ahead and roll me your rammy dammy.
So that roll is a 6, making it a 12.
And I believe I get a strength saving throw?
Yeah.
Ooh, I got a 23. So, your hydraulic ram begins to push it back, but it's floating. The gravity that holds it in place keeps it from getting knocked away like some soccer ball. That makes it the witness's turn. One of its eyes is going to crane downward and level to Artyom. This eye is going to fire an energy beam at you. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
I'm going to give myself advantage by activating my vibrant shield. That is a 16.
A 16 is the DC.
Hey!
So you only take 15 points of electric damage, or lightning damage, as it were.
Hot dang.
The next eye is going to aim at Christzegrand, having just sliced off one of its stalks. And it's going to fire at you its gravity ray. I need you to make me a strength saving throw.
All right. That's a 6.
That's okay. You feel it take control of you with this kind of telekinetic energy, and it flings you backwards into Haruthax, or Haru THX. Haru THX, does a 19 hit your armor class?
It does.
All right. So you're both going to take some damage from this one as you get flung backwards like a projectile weapon.
Oh, that hurts.
You both take 13 bludgeoning damage.
Ow.
You are flung from the top of the orrery and slam into your robotic dragon friend. The last action is going to be its rotary teeth burying into the massive quadrupedal form of ARVD. 19 to hit.
Ack.
You hear the sound of like a chainsaw kicking on as the teeth begin to rotate at a very alarming speed. That's some good damage right there. 26 slashing damage.
Woo! I was really hoping he was going to say good damage and then 3. I was hoping it was a sarcastic good.
And a voice and alarm just keeps emitting from this thing saying, reduce to 0, reduce to 0. Haruthax, Haru THX.
Lying on the ground, Haru THX's arm is going to, the filaments of my arm are just going to plunge into the ground. Mm-hmm. And like a 3D printer, it's just going to my shillelagh up out of the ground, which mm-hmm. I'm going to grab and stand up. And then I'm going to spit. Can I spit acid without hitting an ally from here?
Yeah, it's up in the air, so you have a clear shot.
Okay, cool. I'm going to move. I'll move like 15 feet because I stood up. It takes half. Kind of pivoting around so that we're not grouped. And then I'll blast it with acid. So
very good. How do I respond to that?
Dex save.
Dex save from the witness. I declare. That's not the best roll I've ever rolled. 5.
That will be a fail. And it will take All right, that's better damage than I usually roll on D6s. I'm really tempted while we're here to just use average damage for everything. 10, 13, 14 acid damage.
Very good. So you reveal a polished veneer underneath the coating of metal on its outside as part of its exoskeleton starts to melt away.
Cool. And then I roll to see if it recharges. It does not.
So the battle grows fierce in the Sertanian Athenaeum between the Motor Dawn and the mechanical beholder known as the Witness. The fate of their friend and ally, Reginald 419, resting in the balance.
Damn this signal. I can feel myself missing out. Come on, the MD's coolest crap happens off cam. All the real worm belly stuff.
Sad but true. As rarely as we encounter issues with our league monitors, they can happen.
Never been a big fan. Walk around for years with a flying footlocker aimed at your skull and the ability to personify anything starts slipping. Try to be friendly or crack a joke and they just hang there, quiet and condescending, like modern art.
Some teams make the mistake of trying to befriend their Reginald, forgetting that they are bound to their objective. Monitor their adventures, remain unseen, and communicate with the team on behalf of the league. They're all business, to a fault.
No kidding. Old 2-5 was constructed with a standard issue 3/4-inch titanium rod firmly inserted in the rear quadrant. And let me tell you, not a fan of stickers, no matter how cute they were. Try to give a guy the favor of a mustache and you don't even get a rise out of him. Just peels off the punchline and keeps buzzing. I wonder what he's up to these days.
Well, after Reginald has finished monitoring for a team, they usually return to Ergo to be restructured and refreshed, and emerge shiny and new, ready to be entrusted to a new team.
Damn, that's deep. A little grim. After I kick the bucket, am I going to be ground up into a celestial stormburger, rebuilt into a baby in some other world? I mean, far as spiritual journeys go, that's pretty thrifty. I can respect it.
And speaking of magical journeys, let's take a look at some ads from this week's sponsors. Stay tuned for more LUQ!
Hey there, Bonarak Axebreaker here. It's been a pretty exciting day for yours truly on account of today as our 100th episode of Gator Dungeon. In honor of this stupendous milestone, I thought it'd be a real kick in the old Kool-Aid to talk about my top three favorite dungeons that we've had on the show. So without any further chinwagging, let's take a trip down the halls of fond memories. Number three is the Duskfang Gallery. This locale was once used as a kind of historic museum and art exhibit for all things infernal and black magic adjacent, where once these dark marbled floors were filled with lecterns of forbidden lore and scriptures of the seven masters of hell, they're now a reinvented stronghold protected by a large clan of bugbears that moved in after a holy insurgent cleared out the previous owners. Now, while these big goblins don't really have the same keen eye for art or history that their predecessors were known for, they do know how to mount a strong defense and sharpen sacred artifacts and use them as pointy stuff in the bottom of a pit. Number two is the Galmaris Barrows, a series of subterranean crypts used to house the dead Nemari centuries ago. The new landlord's a very powerful necromancer and former chair on the Black Tower's Andesian Council. Now, most undead crypts are pretty scary and not a safe place to go, but this fella keeps her in tip-top shape with the use of his tireless skeletal maid service. And being a bit of an extrovert, he has no problem allowing guests to come and visit him so long as they don't meddle in his magical whatnots and try to abscond with his coin collection. Nothing beats a dungeon that puts out a welcome mat. Now, my number one dungeon of the last 100 episodes will probably spark a little controversy, so I just want to reiterate, these are just my opinions. I'm just a simple dwarf who loves dungeons. So coming in at number one, we have the Maze of Cognizance. You may be saying, well, Bonerick, is that a real dungeon if it all takes place inside of your mind when you gaze too deeply into the Halcyon Mirror? Well, my reply is thus. There's no harder wall to scale than the walls of self-doubt. There's no deadlier trap to get consumed by than the bottomless pit of emotion. And there's no greater treasure to uncover than the self-awareness of what really matters to you. New fans of the show are what matters to me. And I wouldn't be able to be exploring dungeons and bringing you along without your support, so thanks from the bottom of my heart. And hopefully I'll see y'all when we hit episode 200 as well of Get a Dungeon, right here on the Nexus Enterprise.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome, LUQDs, to our 100th episode. It blows my damn mind that we've come this far. Nearly 2 years of work and love and pain and joy. Every one of you listening has been a part of this journey. Whether you're listening release day, this January 11th, 2021, or years from now, this content is for you. Many people support us, and I want to thank those people in particular. To our Patreon subscribers, from novice to patron and beyond, you have our deepest thanks. The Unbroken Form, The Moonlight Veil, The Oathsworn, The Ancestor's Fury, The Cultured Cutthroats, The Iron Rhapsody, The Tavern Brawlers, The Cursed Spawn. You are all our heroes, and the love and support you have shown cannot be measured, but it can be rewarded. Our content contest winners are in. We had some excellent submissions, which can be found on theluq.com. And it was a hard choice, but the cast voted along with Isaac Davies, who sponsored the contest, and we have our winners. In third place, for $20 in LUQ merch, we have Sean Klitcher, better known as Witchy Teacup on the Discord, with a handmade Harthax plushie that warmed our hearts to no end. In second place, for 40 of that good merch, is Izzy Boshi, with a wool felt creation of one of my favorite NPCs, Lord Inoki. I absolutely love this one. And in first place, we have a very special treat. Zelody, who worked with Zan Kam in creating the song For the Dawn, The Ballad of Artyom Volkov, has released another hit. Come What May, The Ballad of Chris Zagrand moved us all deeply, and we could not be happier to follow up this 100th mid-roll break with something so beautiful. Thank you, Zelody. And thank all of you who submitted work to this contest. The winners can reach out to us by email for details. In honor of this milestone, and by request of some of the fans, we've made a 100th episode hashtag every fucking Monday t-shirt that can be found on our merch store through the LUQ.com. If you're into that kind of thing, use the promo code LUQ100 for free shipping through February 9th. There's a lot of other news, but that can wait until next week. I don't want to bog this episode down with too much mid-roll garbage. So, without further ado, here is the Ballad of Chris Zagrand.
All I knew was hurt, hunger, and pain. I was suffocating under shame. A darkness grew inside me and turned my future black. Fear had kept me paralyzed. My heart was all but crystallized, a fractured soul. soul a hollow host until I broke my mold. Making noise and making waves with thunderous steps, my choice was made. Walked away from all my pain and found this paradise. You see how I'm shattered now, but you won't turn away. My broken shards can't pierce your hearts in this together, come what may. Lost in selfish will, I'll try to change direction and march on to the dark. Speak healing words to right what's wrong. I'll rescue you with lustrous song. New hope will shine inside my eyes. My heart fills with your love.
Top of the initiative, we return to Krizd.
Krizd. Time for you to go down a grade. And with that, I'm going to release what is called a sonic blast. I'm going to release it above him.
Okay.
Trying to get all them extra socks. Let's blow them off.
Socks?
Stocks? Socks? Let's blow them sockets off.
Going to knock his stocks off?
Oh my God, that works in some love.
Time to crash the stock market.
Oh, this is killing Zach so deeply.
I apologize for
nothing. These are good puns. I don't hate good puns.
Just Michael's puns.
So hit me with that sonic blast. What are we doing?
You have to make a constitution saving throw, I believe at disadvantage.
Because it is a construct.
Yes.
As are you.
Oh, no.
Nope. Rolled an 8.
Yes.
No, wait. It has a plus 4 more. 12.
That, my DC is 16.
Ha-ha.
Let's do that sweet 6d8 damage.
Woof.
Yeah.
To be clear, that is 6d8 and not 68.
I wish it was 68 damage. That'd be amazing.
Be a hell of a roll on 68.
That is... Oh, there we go.
Ah, that is 18.
Impressively below average.
That is so bad.
That's a Michael roll for damage.
That was like three ones.
The air in the top of this conical chamber is filled with some of these glowing orbs that are illuminating things, several of which explode, dimming the lights in the room, casting most of you in a darkness that you manage to see through fairly normally. The only lights are emitting from the eye of the witness at this time.
Let's see if my abilities recharge. It does!
Ooh.
Yay!
Woo!
Lucky D6-y. Bringing D6-y back. Anything else for Krizd?
No.
That brings us to ARTM.
Beautiful. Well, AR Trademark is going to go ahead and he notices something very important. Among the small devices and random pieces that are in this room that got destroyed in his attempt to shatter this creature, among them was the heat regulator. And he's going to take advantage.
Ah.
The first thing he does is he takes a single geographical point in space and through completely abstract thought divides by zero in that space, creating an environment wherein reality doesn't quite make any sense, functionally creating a micro-sized big bang of explosive heat and energy.
Excellent.
He releases his thermal blast.
Awesome. Giving birth to a tiny universe.
Exactly.
Blarp.
Can we get a chef's kiss for that?
I kind of did, but you couldn't hear it. You're trying not to like blast fully into the mic.
Quick memes. RTM. We need to be careful what we do here. Also, RTM divides by zero.
Creates pocket universe of destruction.
Beautiful. So that is a DC 16 dexterity throw for that cool fool.
He is cool. Thank you. Oh, my saving throws are really on point. I got a 4.
Oh, I'm going to borrow this.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make RTM the god of this universe he's creating?
You can flavor your spells all you want.
I love it. So we've got 8d6 fire damage coming at this bad boy. 16. 26.
Excellent. So for a moment, you do in fact create a tiny pocket dimension of chaos, but its only purpose is to destroy itself. And in doing so, it takes a chunk of the witness with it. Several metal plates fall to the ground and you see some of the wires and energy cores underneath humming.
Beautiful.
Parts of it are just ever so melted.
I'm going to go ahead and see if I recharge that. I do with a 6.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Would you like to attack with your drone?
I would indeed. He's going to come down hard on him. It's literally just going to be explosion of an entire universe and then a bonk as the LED comes down on his head. Not awesome. That's a 7 plus 8, 15.
15 does not hit, unfortunately.
I'm not shocked.
Let's go ahead and add a D6.
No fooling?
Yeah.
That is 16.
Let's go ahead and add another D6.
You can do that.
Hey, that's 19.
That hits. It only took you a numeral between 2 and 12 to get that 15 up to a 19. Roll me that sweet drone damage.
Gonna. Let's see here.
Get her drone. Sorry.
Weak ass shit. God damn it. I'm just the dog shit in this rolls. That is 6 plus 4. So that's 10.
Hey, that adds up.
But with the help of my harmonic synergy, the extra sonic impact does an additional 4 damage.
Ooh.
Excellent. The bonk really resonates outward. Yeah,
it's a perfect pitched bonk.
You're dropping the bonk bass? How are you going to? Never mind.
We're getting silly.
Yeah.
And I love it.
At the risk of the party. Law, does the Beholder have legendary actions that it's not taking?
No.
Okay.
I don't hate you that much.
Okay.
That brings us to ARVD.
Well, that last chainsawing of my sweet metal bod definitely put some rage into me. So ARVD is going to have a power surge. This is it's basically rage. Yep. And
but robot rage.
Yeah, robot rage.
Yeah, it's R4G3.
R4VG?
R4G3.
Don't worry about it.
Don't acknowledge
it. Let's not try to spell rage in leet speak, okay?
So yeah, there it is. It's a rage. And now...
Uploading rage. Rage uploaded.
And now we'll make a full out attack.
Actually just starts printing the forms for rage just out of her butt. Just
what is this?
Please sign the rage, Eula.
So one attack was 23 to hit.
That's a big hit.
Woo!
And the other one was 15.
Let's go ahead and synergize them harmonics. Sweet. Get another D6 on that.
18.
That hits.
Woo!
And these ones are both 2d8 plus 6.
Per attack, yes.
20 damage for the first one.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So total of 40 damage then.
Phenomenal.
Badass.
I dare say quite good.
Yeah.
The witness is not so much floating with great confidence so much as weakly hovering and attempting to hold itself together as many of the pieces are beginning to fall away. The eye stalks are shooting sparks out and its alarm is beginning to sound kind of like a broken, like, like an air horn that's been dented.
A dying accordion.
A weak ass klaxon. Goddamn.
It's going to once again continue chomping into Arvid. It's not even letting go. It's just kind of letting its rotary teeth dig in like a phone from hell. That's going to be a big hit on Arvid.
But now I have the resistance. Is that the same as having it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good thing, too. That's even better damage than last time.
Woo.
Halved to 17.
Woo. That's some damage.
Woo.
With another ray, it's going to fire out towards Krist. I need Krist to make me a DC... question mark. Constitution saving throw.
Oh, boy.
As it fires its immolation ray at you.
All right. Now, this will not activate my vibronic emissions.
Oh, it will?
Ooh, I didn't use that last time.
So feel free now.
Oh, that's a 6.
That's a fail.
Oh!
Wow. 24 fire damage. Ooh. As you begin to overheat and smolder, some of your wires fraying and the rubber that protects them burning away.
I would like to activate my vibronic emissions
mm-hmm.
by taking some of that thermal energy and sending back a harmonic cold slice right at him.
How much does that deal?
That is 2d6.
Hit me.
7.
Got it. You strike it and you can feel the teeth digging into your body, Arvid, starting to like slow down, like the motor is overheating.
Refreshing.
less teeth.
This is like a nice ice cold glass of less teeth in my goddamn body.
I'm always a fan of less teeth.
And then the last ray is going to fire at Artyom, who just dropped a small universe on him.
Vibrant shield.
This one is a constitution saving throw.
I will, in fact, activate vibrant shield to get an advantage on a saving throw.
Sweet. It's a good ability.
Very good. 11 and 12, but the 12 is plus 6, so 18.
18 does make it.
Nice.
You feel like it's trying to take over your operation system. It feels like you're starting to be powered down and paralyzed, but you resiliently fight back and counter-hack him. He does not get in.
Artyom's pretty fucking elite.
Yeah. And that brings us to Harithax. The creature is falling apart. The alarm is fading. And the Modron seem to be backing away to every corner of this round room.
Okay.
The irony is intentional.
Did you say it's pretty dark in here now?
Yes.
Krist shattered all the lights? Okay. Harithax is going to come running up the orrery. And as they're moving, it almost looks like I've got like blink where like a strobe light is going off. Just I disappear, I reappear, I disappear, I reappear as I'm moving. Mm. And then I'm just going to plunge my wires into it and make a energy consumption attack. Against
Ooh,
it.
Sweet. Please do.
As I try and just plug in and drain the last of its reserves.
Why am I using this die?
It's a 10.
Time to unzip this data dump. I'm going to give him my last two. Laugh it up. I don't care. I love this. I'm going to give you my last two pieces of harmonic synergy.
I hope you succeed.
I need you to roll at least a 6 on 2d6.
Don't I need an 8?
Oh, yeah, you do need...
Yeah, I need an 8. I have to roll slightly above average.
Is there an ability that Artyom has that when you get within 10 feet of him?
Yeah, actually, any person within 20 feet of me adds 1d4 to attack rolls.
Am I in its cone?
No, it's okay. Busted.
Oh, good. So, there's my d4. Also a 1.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
that's so good.
The good news is, though, now I only have to roll 7 on 2d6, which is the average of 2d6. Just don't roll below average.
If anyone can't do it, it's you.
That's 5.
Oh, my.
Which makes it 16 total.
As you swing in with your final blow, this thing's exoskeleton and armor plating has all been melted, blasted, droned, and vibrated away, and its armor class has reduced dramatically.
So you do in fact connect with a 16.
Oh, that's fortunate. All right.
It has it has a blade of plating.
Yeah.
It's literally all natural armor, and narratively that shit is gone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. 5, 7, 10, 16 necrotic damage.
More than enough.
Well, then the wires just plunge into its eye, and you just watch as whatever energy remains powering it just gets sucked out, and the wires pulse as this thing just powers down and collapses.
Thank God I bonked it.
Right?
Synergistic bonking, thank you. Right.
Thanks, everyone, for the assists. Plural.
You still technically failed.
It's true.
So you literally download the last of its life force into your wire claw. And there's a loud crashing sound as the metal body slams into the orrery, all energy leaving it. And as the remains of the witness crackle and smolder on the floor of the Sertanian chamber, its pieces begin to dissolve into data that drifts upward and is instantly collected. And a voice echoes out through the chamber.
You have complicated our equations by coming here. For the sake of stability, I beg you to now stop. Outsiders, let us speak and realign ourselves.
And a small figure exits from a small doorway near the base of the orrery. He's roughly a foot tall and hovers a few inches off of the ground. His base is shaped like a small top, and his four arms are strangely long for his size. He folds his hand before himself as his tiny red robes brush along the ground. His body is a rich bronze, and his head is a floating sphere surrounded by a row of eyes that seems to constantly spin and stabilize.
I am the High Reasoner of this plane. My designation is Andrew 10101. You have shown us your strength is greater than or equal to our witness. We have learned much from this transaction. The next one will be much more capable. But now let us solve this problem another way. Speak, unknowns. Become known to us.
The purpose of information is to be processed and understood. We are the understanders. We are the thinkers.
You are not from Ergo. You are indeed outsiders from a great distance, correct?
Yes.
Why have you come here, to our world, adding your unknowns to our equations?
You've taken something important to us.
An important variable, you could say.
Explain.
Reginald 419, we're here to retrieve him.
Reginald 419's axiomatic core is malfunctioning.
He's functioning perfectly.
The Modrons are held together by their axiomatic core. If it continues to destabilize, he will be destroyed.
Sounds like you're going to destroy him either way.
We are going to reset him to his natural self.
And yet what you intend to do is take away the information that makes him who he is. You claim that you are a place of information, and yet you think that this is not going to kill him?
We are simply stabilizing the equation at a cost.
At the cost of him.
Correct.
That cost is way too high. Far too great.
He is beginning to operate outside of the parameters of his instructions.
He is operating entirely within the parameters of his instructions.
He's been the perfect model of a friend. Don't change him.
He was not sent to Zarna to become a friend. He was sent to monitor under the rules of the League.
Well, he did become a friend, and now you cannot take him from us.
And he has continued to monitor us even during his malfunction.
And in fact, his intent is to monitor for the purposes of entertainment. The more he understands about our intimacies, about our personalities, about our way of life, the better he is able to monitor in a way that is appealing to watch.
Hmm. The consideration of performing outside of his parameters for equality of the viewer is not considered to us, but could be. Let us think on this for a moment. Reginald 419.
He speaks into existence, and Reginald 419 appears before you. He's kind of rubbing his arm awkwardly like he's embarrassed. He says,
boy, what a mess I've gotten us all into.
No, you didn't.
I'm pretty sure if I keep operating the way I am, I will be destroyed from the inside because of my axiomatic core. It's like a power source to me.
Sounds like you'll be destroyed either way. But how do you want to live?
It seems I have a few options. Perhaps my friends could help me choose. I could return with you to Losanili and operate until my core destroys me. I could be reset to zero and once again be your monitor, and there is a chance. Through your proximity and influence, I will return to the way I was. The odds of this are roughly 1 in 11,000. Or I could have my axiomatic core removed and no longer be a Modron, but perhaps maintain my position as your monitor, unable to return home to my people, as long as some of us keep our damn mouths shut. Looking at you, 503. I swear to Primus, if you spill the beans, I'll have my friends mess this place up real sick house.
capacity for chaos is unrivaled in any realm I have ever visited.
Oh, Castiel.
Andrew 10101 speaks up and says,
if this Reginald is willing to remove his core and no longer become part of our equation, his actions will be his own, and it would be illogical for us to try to monitor him. It is up to your world whether or not he can keep his job. That's not my business. We have fulfilled our end of the contract.
Whether he keeps his job or not, he will have a place.
Agreed.
Well, okie dokie then. That seems all right with me. Thank you for helping us beta test this new version of the Witness. The next one will be super able to kick your ass. So don't come back and mess our shit up.
Don't make us.
Reginald 419, I will now take your axiomatic core. You are no longer one of the Modron race. What you are now is not yet defined. Have fun defining it.
And there is a flash of light as Reginald begins to float in the air, and Andrew 10101 begins speaking in ones and zeros and code. And it seems like a light is draining from Reginald's eyes as a simple machine part falls out of his ass. It glows for a moment like an orb of pure energy, and then it once again dissipates into information. And Reginald's studying his hands, says,
Seems like I can still do most of what I used to, but while you live like this all the time, this totally sucks.
You get used to it.
Everything's confusing. I keep having to make decisions. I'm making one right now. The things I'm saying are a decision I'm making right now, and I hate it.
Hashtag relatable.
Yes, you get used to it.
I'm going to get us out of here, okay?
If you can.
Yes, please.
Once again, my internal cavity is a pocket dimension, and I can shift planes. No problem. Climb aboard, y'all.
And Reginald creates the sphere of light on the ground as his eye projects it. And you can all be swallowed up, Pokeball-like, into his into his eye. And with great ease, you reappear in a flash, strangely on the roof of the Lounge of Ultimate Questing. The sun is set, and a golden moon hangs over the quiet port of Lucinelli. You once again draw breath into living bodies. You see Maven standing alone, facing northwest. A bottle of wine hangs half full in his hand. Two more rest empty against the lip of the rooftop. His coat is folded neatly on the ground. Something big is happening. Something very big. Nexus has been working on something. A device. Hovering miles over Chimaris. Probably the most expensive device ever constructed with coins in this world. They're boosting the signal. Not just to Mackinac, but to other planes. They're trying to expand. It's all happening so fast. It won't be long now.
To what?
I told you some time ago, he says, just looking off to the northwest, that we would have a very serious talk, that I would answer some questions you've had for some time. And he turns to face you, revealing under starlight the blood stain spread across the front of his fine silk shirt, the two crossbow bolts sticking out of him, moving up and down with labored breaths. That time is drawing very near. And when it comes, I beg that you forgive me.
Hey, great job today, Storm. I feel like we really connected with our audience.
Thanks, Kip. That was a pretty good broadcast.
No weird guests, nobody got injured, no surprises. Just good old-fashioned hosting. I feel great.
It was pretty chill now that you mention it. I don't know. I kind of like it when it gets weird, you know? Keeps things exciting.
Well, Storm, I have no doubt that that's your cup of tea, but my flavor is smooth sailing. Keeps the bosses happy and keeps the ratings consistent.
Oh, yeah. Gotta polish the brass. Well, if it makes you this happy, I'll try to tighten up my curveballs since, you know, it's almost always me ensuing the jinx, high or low.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Well, that means a lot.
Kip, I hope you know I'm always looking out for you. Speaking of bosses, Commissioner Lurie, what brings you here? In the men's room.
Storm, I need to have a word with Mr. Killigan. Would you give us a moment?
Yeah. I've had enough of this absurdity sandwich anyway. I can handle Kip changing into an identical black suit like a stuffy cartoon character, but something about the commish walking through the crap cathedral to stare me down in the powder room is just a bit too steep a juxtaposition for me. I think I'll hit a museum. Roll me up a critical analysis.
Thank you, Storm.
Matt? Miss Lurie. Well, hello, Commissioner. What can I do for you?
Anytime those two are in the same room, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Narrating to ground myself kind of jeebies. I'm going to figure out what's going on there someday. But until then, I think Uncle Midnight's going to appreciate a few private collections.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the 100th episode.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. I think it's episode 0100.
Get your binary shit out of here.
I don't actually know what 100 is in binary. Yeah, but... Yeah.
Anyway. Episode 100! We did it! Woo! Triple digits of emotion. You are all the reason that this is possible. You listening right now, you're the reason we're making episode 100. Those of you who learned from friends, you can do the same. You have the power to share this with people that you care about or even people that you hate that you want to listen to good podcasts. Our fan base has grown a ton. We're super grateful to all of you. You can get all of the information at theluq.com, all of our social media. We're posting some real fat memes lately. We're going to be sharing some more content. There's extra maps and stuff coming out on our Patreon if you want to join that, as well as access to special character sheets, monster stat blocks, magic items, and of course, joining the Patreon. And yes, we will post the stat blocks of the Motor Dawn so you can all experience them and play with them in your own games. We have some great new merch on the website as well. I'm wearing my Mortal Dawn hoodie right now, and it's extra soft. But honestly, I'm just fucking flabbergasted by all of this, and I need to thank the following people for that.
Sam, playing Arvid Ulfelman, or this episode, ARVD.
Sam the Ram. Whoa, Black Betty.
Wow.
So emphatic. You dishonor Ram Jam with your weak sauce.
Zach has reached his capacity for references and puns. I'm Michael Loving. This episode, I played H4RU-THX. Normally, I play Harithax, the Dragonborn Warlock.
Hi, I'm Alante. In this episode, I play Greets. And other times I play Chris Sagran, the Crystalline Sorcerer and Creation Bard.
I'm Zach Barkus. This episode I played AR-TM, the Sunlight program, I guess.
The robot programmed to suffer.
Oh, my God.
My roles were programmed to suffer. Yeah.
I am also the, I guess, executive fancy boy producer editor man of the Slapdash Studios.
And my name is Law. I am the Dungeon Master of the League of Ultimate Questing and Creative Director of Slapdash Studios. And two things to end on. One, I definitely had a robot stat block for Morty if he wanted to come.
What was Morty's robot name?
I think it was just Morty with a zero.
Okay.
Or it ended with a T. It was M-O-R-T. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is when we return, everyone will gain a level.
Ooh, shit. Ooh.
Yay. Ooh.
That makes us level 10?
10.
10.
Possibilities.
And again, that's all possible because you've all been growing and questing with us. And until next time, we wish you luck.